ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Economics.
Joining us for a look this week at Business and Finance News, the ABC's Chief Business Reporter, Ian Verinder. Ian, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Good to be here, Phil.
Australia likes to think of itself as the world's leading iron ore producer. We produce high-grade ore in this country at relatively competitive prices, certainly upholding our economy and has been doing for a long time. However, there are alternative sources of supply in the world. Could it undermine the Australian model for producing iron ore? There's a big new mine opening in Africa called Simandou. Ian, tell me about it.
Yeah, look, Phil, this mine has been in the works, I guess, since 1997, which is when Rio Tinto first took a license out over the tenements there. But it's been plagued with troubles ever since.
Where is it?
There've been several coups in Guinea. Mm-hmm. There was a corruption allegation after one coup. There was an Israeli businessman who somehow or other managed to get control of almost half the ore that's in there, and there were court battles and fights that went on forevermore. The other problems have been logistics as well, because it's a massive, massive amount of iron ore that's there. It's about 4 billion tonnes.
But it's all along Rocky Mountain ridges, isn't it?
That's right. And it's a long, long way from the coast. Hmm. So getting this to fruition has entailed essentially having to build a 600-kilometre railway line through some fairly hostile country and then getting the equipment up there to actually start mining. Well, it's finally about to come to fruition. And they'll be shipping ore by the end of this month. So really within days, the ore will start to be shipped out. Mm-hmm. It's actually been nicknamed the Pilbara Killer. So that gives you a bit of an indication of just the potential impact this might have on Australian iron ore exports.
Mm. Who owns it?
Rio Tinto owns half of it. And another Chinese company owns the other half. The ore body is split into two. It's a couple of hundred kilometres. It separates the two bodies. So a Chinese firm, well, it's Hong Kong listed, but there's various Chinese tentacles that go into that firm called Winning Consortium, I think it's called. But, of course, Rio Tinto, most people wouldn't realise, is actually its biggest shareholder is a Chinese state-owned enterprise by the name of Chinalco. It owns 15% of Rio Tinto. So Rio, in this case, is very much doing some the work that the Chinese or Beijing leaders there would like it to be doing for it.
Yeah.
And the potential for this is that it is going to produce a massive amount of ore that is really very high grade. And, you know, obviously what we've seen in the past couple of years is the price of iron ore has come off, you know, quite dramatically. It's now sitting right around $100 a ton, but there are forecasts that it could drop substantially below that as a result of all this new supply coming into the system.
Mm. Yeah, are the Australian producers? I mean, this has long been a threat, hasn't it? That if there are alternative sources of supply, then Australia's position and mines would be threatened. Are they threatened by Simandou? I mean, there is some suggestion that it's good, it's okay, but it will never produce at the same volume as the Pilbara, for example.
Look, we provide about 60% of all Chinese iron ore imports. China actually is it's the world's biggest producer of iron ore.
Hey, that's a that's a fun fact. I don't think people realise that.
No, they produce a lot of iron ore, but it's very low grade. And so what they need is really high grade material to add into that mix to produce decent steel. So Australia produces or ships about 60% of their needs, and most of the rest of it comes from Brazil. This new mine is going to add around about 7% of all seaborne global supply. It's 4 billion tonnes. I mean, it's a huge mine. It's a huge ore body. And there's other ore bodies in West Africa as well that are being developed. So China is, I think, the main thing to take away from this is China is determined to strip Australia of the pricing power that we've had over iron ore. It's, you know, for years been really, really angry at the way the Australian producers, particularly BHP and to a lesser extent Rio Tinto, have been quite aggressive in extracting the biggest price possible. Back in around about 2010, I think it was, BHP decided to shift from what had been the traditional method of pricing iron ore was a once-a-year negotiation that took place in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And what happened there, the iron ore miners would meet up with the steelmakers in Japan because they were our biggest market at that stage, and they would set a price that would stay intact for the entire year. When China started buying vast quantities of iron ore, BHP saw this as, look, it's pointless trying to, you know, just put a price together once a year. I mean, prices are going ballistic. Let's just have an open market. And Beijing really objected to that, and they've been doing their level best ever since to try and break that stranglehold. And if you, you know, we've speaking a lot lately about critical minerals and rare earths and how China controls the pricing for those for those minerals. It actually controls the price for pretty much all of the globe's metals. You know, we're talking about aluminium, copper, rare earths, all sorts of things, everything from aluminium to zircon, you could say. But iron ore has been beyond their grasp because they haven't had adequate control over the supply. This is going to give them that leverage that is required to tip the balance into their favour. And so it all really depends on how far, I guess, iron ore prices fall. And of course, what that means is, you know, our federal tax take is going to be much lower than it has been.
Yeah, the Pilbara setup, though, is still more efficient, isn't it, than this Guinea mine? After all, Guinea is not the most stable of countries, you would think.
That is the danger.
It's a very narrow rail line, as you say, hundreds of kilometres to the coast, which isn't infinitely expandable either, I understand. So
no,
might it just be a niche producer, do you think?
I don't think so. And it's, as I said, it's not the only mine. It's the first one in West Africa that's come on stream. So there are neighbouring countries that have mines there that are under development. In fact, Fortescue has a big mine planned for one of the neighbouring countries near Guinea. But you're absolutely right. This particular mine, because it is in such an isolated place, and for whatever reason, they've actually built a very narrow rail line that connects to the main national line to get it there. So the actual link into there is very narrow, and it can't really be expanded. So, but that aside, there is going to be enough ore that is produced out of this mine to tip that balance in terms of, you know, pricing power. And, you know, Australia and Brazil have forever battled with for market share there. But, I mean, Australia provides, as I said, 60% of all China's imports. Our mines are starting to run down in terms of the quality of them because we produce ore here of around about 60 to 62% iron in the dirt that we ship over there. BHP has the richest ore. Rio Tinto is slightly below that, and Fortescue's is below that again. This is going to be much richer ore than what we're producing at the moment. I mean, you're absolutely right. We've got the infrastructure here. We've got the shipping. We've got the ports. We've got everything really humming along. So you can imagine that there will be problems coming out of West Africa, and it's a much further distance to ship that ore as well. But be that as it may, this is a major new supply that is coming on stream within the next, you know, few weeks, possibly even days, and it will make a big difference to pricing.
It's a glimpse of the future, hey? Because the situation will not improve. It will only get more complicated.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you think about, you know, the extent that the world is going to at the moment to actually break China's grip on pricing power when it comes to rare earths and critical minerals and pretty much all the other minerals. You know, like as a good example, we were a major nickel supplier and producer in Australia. We've just shut down all our nickel mines really in the past 2 years. And that's primarily because China has built these massive new mines in Indonesia with smelters and everything else, which has now given them total domination of the nickel market globally.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. All right, Ian, always terrific to talk. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.